welcome back to our Friday podcast. It's lovely to have you here with us again this week. We've got a different special guest with us this
week. Two special guests.
Yeah,
Andy and Lexi.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Well, thank you. It's very lovely to have you here with us. This is our special
2 month anniversary.
I feel like we're professionals now.
Indeed. 2 months in, naturally, you're professional.
Yeah, definitely. Can tell from the content, the quality content that we are being paid to do this.
I think everyone's enjoying it, so that's a win. That's all good.
This is why we booked you.
My fees are very reasonable. It's great. About £15.
So are you both working from home okay with the boys?
Well, I'm working from home, aren't I? It's all right. It's a bit tricky. It's only 2 days a week, though. But, you know, being able to try to kind of talk about quite in-depth things and manage people's emotions, over the phone isn't always that easy. So, it's all right. It's harder. It's a harder adaptation than I thought it would be.
But, are the boys helping?
The boys are on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and daddy homeschool, aren't they?
So, so I look after the boys all day, Tuesday, Thursday, which is actually really fun. And it's something you'd never foresee being able to do. Because I'm normally obviously out all the time. Well, that sounds like I'm an absent father. not quite to that degree, but obviously I'm normally at work, and my days can be quite long just because of travel and everything else. But I'm not working, so I'm furloughed.
Are you not? Oh, I didn't know.
So I've not.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Do you know what? It's quite an enjoyable experience.
Lexi, is it an enjoyable experience?
It's great. It's really good.
At one level it's not ideal, but from another level it's actually quite a blessing, because we never spend this much time together. I never spend this much time sort of constructively, if you know what I mean, with the boys and helping them in over a protracted period. So, you know, the chances are I won't get the chance again, certainly not while they're this age. It's lovely. It's really nice. And, officially, obviously, I'm not working, which is, it's a little bit tricky. Because there's a lot of correspondence still comes through you, so you still have to manage that sort of conundrum. But broadly speaking, it's working well. It gives me a bit more time to do church stuff as well, which is handy at the moment. Daddy homeschool is very strict.
Is much Lego involved?
There is a good amount of Lego. Bit of music.
Oh yeah, bit that's
bit
of course.
Bit of,
yeah.
bit of art.
Football.
Bit of sport, bit of PE, quite a lot of maths. We like maths.
Obviously.
We had some of the families, didn't we, from church on Zoom one time, and we tried to do Oh God is a great big God, but you can imagine 7 different families all attempting it. Very out of sync.
Remix.
It was, there's a whole idea of doing a song in the round. We all did finish at different times. I'm not sure it was.
Yeah, all that kind of
round. Kids enjoyed it.
The kids enjoyed it. That's
so
what
lovely.
That was the point.
Was it like a catch up for the kids or like a general family kind of?
It was just catching up with some of the families. With the kids, you can't really catch up when the kids are on. But they kind of come on and they all come and show the things they've made and the books they're reading, and they show it to each other, and they all talk over each other, don't they? They like seeing each other. But we had a cream tea with your parents,
as we do obviously every Saturday afternoon.
What more would one do?
Now the big question is, was the cream tea virtual or did it exist?
It existed. Both ends of the FaceTime call existed.
Yeah, because it was Guernsey Liberation Day.
The day after VE Day, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Very good, though.
Is it the Guernsey Literary Potato Peel Society?
Well, my parents watched the Guernsey Literary Potato Peel Pie Society film last night. Mm-hmm. And my dad informed me that it was the day after.
That's right. So, yeah, on the 9th, obviously they all knew that war was over on the 8th. And from that moment on, from the 8th, there were still a lot of Nazi soldiers on the island at the time, but they were effectively never seen again. Insofar as the command was to go back to their barracks, and they just stayed there. They didn't come out. So when you see all the footage of the British troops arriving, obviously there is no opposition whatsoever because they're all buried away in their Nissan huts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean it's just a massive part of the island's history.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a bank holiday, isn't it?
It's a bank holiday
every year.
Oh.
Yeah.
And when quite a lot of the famous footage of the harbour, we know Andy's granddad was just a few like buildings up, and
you
could kind of see the view.
He was sat on the roof of.
It was Woolworths, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been Woolworths, might have been Boots. I forget. But yeah,
I mean, and
when they arrived, the soldiers were throwing soap and chocolate of and course. Stuff like this, which is not what they didn't have, and so he used to tell the stories of what it's like, because all four of my grandparents were born in Guernsey, but three of them were evacuated for 5 years, came over here, all different parts of the country. You know, it was a lottery as to where you were going. But my mum's dad remained because the boat was a day late. And so my great-grandfather took him down to the boat with the intention of him going. Mm. And when he found out he was coming back the next day, he took him home and said, "I'm not coming back there again." and so my grandfather, I might paraphrase that a little bit, but the sentiment was, "I'm not coming back to the harbour," because in those days it was more of a journey. And so he didn't. So my grandfather stayed for the entirety of the occupation, for the whole of the war. And he had some amazing stories. I mean, it was tough. And, you know, he used to tell us the fun bits. You know, it was really, really hard.
Yeah.
And he got into trouble with a couple of high-ranking German officials. At certain points, climbing trees to get British propaganda and the like and things like that, and coming down to be accosted by
a rascal.
Yeah, a little bit. And they used to hide on a Friday evening. They used to hide behind the hedges. Obviously, in Guernsey in those days, there weren't many streetlights or anything like that. And so they'd hide behind the hedges and they'd hear the soldiers walking down, and they'd have just received their pay. And what the kids would do is throw handfuls of nails and stuff like that behind them, so they think they dropped all their money. And various other things. So he used to tell us lots of fun stories, but it was, you know, it was tough. And there's fortifications everywhere, all over the island. Because Hitler thought that the attack would come from the west up the channel, but it never did. So they fortified the island far more than Guernsey than any of the others. They turned Alderney into a concentration camp. Jersey they occupied, but less heavily fortified because it's more sheltered by France. But I'm going to get boring here because A, I'm very interested in it, but B, I wrote my dissertation on it as well. It isn't always fascinating, is it?
No, I've zoned out, sorry.
Let's talk about your side a bit more.
I'm not sure what that is.
Languages, the written word.
Oh,
the written word and language, that's very important from Lex's side. Would you like care to explain, darling?
Thanks so much. Wonderful introduction. I think what you mean is we like books and reading.
And languages.
So now, is it languages or literature? Because they are different things.
But you'd say my wider family would say language.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
But not me. That's good.
So when you say you like books, are you like a big fan of certain series, or do you enjoy as a whole kind of devouring certain kind of books?
Devouring books?
Devouring. Nibbling.
I don't know. I don't really necessarily have time these days, since having children, to actually... sit down and read books properly. But I have been doing a bit more recently. I finally read the first book of Wolf. I read Wolf Hall. I'm only got two more to go that are about this thick. But Wolf Hall was good. And we're reading a book, aren't we, Elizabeth?
We are. It's a very, very good book. It's featured in a lot of podcasts, actually. Like, the things that I've been learning from it have been popping up all over the place.
I love that. I know whenever you're reading the book, because I just hear these, oh! That's me.
It's such a good book.
And you hear the highlighter scribbling.
It's that book's fault that I'm agreed to do this.
Yeah, I'm very grateful.
It's only because of that chapter. Yeah.
It's good timing. Very good timing.
Yeah.
No, but it's been it's good timing for lockdown as well, isn't it? Cause it's like Tom was saying on Sunday that this time is for Christ, and the reason that we are going through this is because God has allowed it and even ordained it, that this has been and it is continuing to be a really good time of growth through all of the little struggles and the irritations. It does put your focus back on God.
It also exposes you more to allow hopefully to allow more self-reflection.
Have you found God teaching you anything through lockdown?
Well, quite as you say, it is kind of, it maybe exposes more things, but one of the things I've been learning is about taking things one day at a time, and not trying to work everything out, probably worry everything out in my head. How's this going to work out, and what we're going to do about that, and what about this? And but actually just coming to God, and he gave manna one day at a time, didn't he?
Yes.
So for us, it's kind of grace one day at a time. And sometimes I'd like him just to give me a bottle of strength. and then I can feel like I can do this, I can cope, because I've got this I've got this strength that I can take as we go forward. But he doesn't do that, does he? Because he wants us to keep coming to him every day. So that's one of the things for me, is one day at a time, just trust God one day at a time. How about you?
I think probably it's I suspect it might be the same for a lot of people, but it's more about understanding that my worth is solely in Christ. And when you're, it's not that we're not particularly idle at the moment, we still have quite enough to keep ourselves occupied with the boys and with other bits and pieces. But I think in the first few days particularly, I felt like I was anything but constructive or productive or efficient. I just felt like I wasn't doing anything. And it has that sort of impact of feeling that you're not contributing, you're not doing, you're not pulling your weight. And I think when you start to unpick that a little bit, it's because actually I, in my case, put a lot of emphasis, I think, on maybe what I do and how I do it. And actually that being something that starts to define value and worth and who I am, whatever. And actually not being able to do those things reminds us that actually that doesn't, in my case, doesn't devalue me at all, not because I'm great, but because Christ is, and my worth is entirely in him. So I think that I've learned a lot about that, and about the fact that just simply he is sufficient, he is enough, his grace is enough. Because I it's good to do things, it's good to serve, it's good to be proactive, it's good to be committed to your work and to your family and all of those things, but ultimately, all we need is Christ. And I think that's probably resonated stronger with me during these, however long it's been for us, however many weeks.
It's our 2-month anniversary. Podcast number 8.
Wow. That's been a really long time, but it's gone by like a flash. I mean, we've had less on, so I think, to be fair, it could have felt like it dragged a bit. I think it feels like it's dragging a bit more now.
Because a lot of our routine as an MT comes from the ministries in the church. So you mark out what day of the week it is by what ministry is running.
Yeah.
So now that they've all sort of gone digital and sort of spread through the week, where you're just trying to catch up with people, you'll work on something like the podcast for a Friday, we'll be working on through the week.
Yeah.
It's all the days sort of merge into
I think
one.
Because it's all on Zoom. So it's also, the content is distinguishable, but actually the act of doing it isn't. You're
never in a different
place. You always flip open your laptop and begin something in the exact same vein.
And if you didn't go outside yesterday, then is it still yesterday?
We were planting some seeds outside today. We've got one of these veg troughs that you can just, grow veg in. and it made me smile because Ruben was holding a troll today. Not a massive fat beast that's about 12 foot tall and you find in the Hobbit. He was holding a trowel. He called it a troll, which is, of course, exactly the same sound he uses for growl.
Yes.
The tiger's growl. A growl. And it was a troll. And he was making me laugh. He was making me laugh today. Declan, where's this northern accent come from? I tell you who is very good at accents, who enjoys offering up quite a lot of accents, and that's Naomi.
Oh, really?
So I think my view is that next house party, we whenever that may happen, and as long as May's still with us in Bath, but that we have Naomi on show somehow doing her wonderful accent.
On show.
Yeah. Do you do people in church?
So these last few weeks, when you thought we had guests on the podcast,
just me. No, I've never listened to a Russian person, and we were very
that one
Russian.
Just happened.
It did just happen. Yeah. I don't actually know where it comes from. I wouldn't say I'm great at impersonations, but if I hear something for long enough, I think I'm fairly good at just kind of parroting it back.
So if you spent a lot of time up north, say you spent a lot of time, you just went up to Yorkshire, would you find yourself talking with a Yorkshire accent?
Yeah. So when I used to go on EMW camp in Battle in North Wales, I remember getting a comment from one of the leaders. They were really confused why I was from Reading, but I sounded really Welsh. Because one of my really close friends was from the valleys, Merthyr Tydfil, and I just parroted her accent back.
That's fantastic.
I'm not really without realising. And they honestly thought I was Welsh. They were really confused. But it's then difficult, because that was the only time I got a detention in school, was the supply teacher had a northern accent. I was the perfect kid, but I could not help myself from not copying someone's accent. She was saying graph instead of graph. And all you can hear, the whole class was talking and then it went dead silent. And you just hear me at the back going, graph, graph, graph. And yeah, and it was at the end of the teacher's tether and I got a detention. So it's because they told people to stop talking and I carried on, obviously with an accent, which made it a little bit worse. But hey, it was a good excuse to get attention, but hey.
But indeed. If you're going to have a blot on your copybook, I think that's a good one.
Yeah,
it's
a good one.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think we should sing one evening in accent.
In an accent?
Yeah, see if anyone
picks
it up.
That'll be interesting. But that's the thing though with singing, is that often you lose your accent when you sing. Do you not find that?
Mm.
That you just don't, it's not distinguishable.
Now, Andy, I know you have a story about karaoke with an accent.
I wondered if you were going to ask that question. I wondered if that's where we were going.
That's where we were going.
I felt that we were drifting down a very prescribed path. Yes, the story behind the karaoke. So we, a very select group of brethren, were in Glastonbury, as you do, for Adam Pengilly's pre-wedding celebration. I think often referred to as a stag do, but it clearly wasn't one of them. And we ventured into a very lovely establishment called the Queen's Head. And we found that karaoke was on, which we thought was lovely. In the members bar, and so we made ourselves familiar with the place, and then we went round to the members bar, and there was I don't think I've ever been in a place where people are so committed to their karaoke. in terms of, I am sure that these people go in every night and sing the same song. Fantastic. You know, most people simply do not look at the words, and they looked out to the largely empty room and just sung their heart out, eyes closed a lot. You know, and we joined in. I think we did Spandau Ballet's Gold from memory, which, you know, wasn't all that epic.
It wasn't.
But after we'd finished, this guy got up to sing, and his name was Martin, and he was very local. And that's all good. And Martin got up and he had his big boots on and he had his brown... No, he didn't. He had his stonewashed jeans and his wife beater string vest. And he came up to the mic deadly, deadly serious. And then the music started and the words came up and he turned away from the words and he put the mic to his his mouth and he's saying, I close my eyes. You know, and he went for it. Draw back the curtain. Ooh-ar, and on, the ooh-ars were genuine. So in Deepest Darker Somerset, you've got this guy and a wife beater in a pub shouting ooh-ar with all the sincerity his heart could muster. To this song, and obviously by the end of it we had all joined in with the URs, and the appropriateness in Somerset of some bloke singing Joseph in his technical drink and UR 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 was memorable.
Fantastic. I'm sure that's what Andrew Lloyd Webber had in mind.
Indeed.
When he read the Bible, or apparently didn't if you've seen the production. Yeah. And wrote that song. Yeah. I don't think I'll ever see Donny Osmond in the same light.
No, you can't. Certainly, if you've been there, you don't. Moving on.
I got caught out in Waitress a little while ago, singing to myself, because obviously when I'm at the flat, I can just make up little songs and no one apart from Naomi minds. Because there's no one else.
Naomi does mind, though.
I really like cheese, okay? And I am known for collecting things that I like. So I have quite a large cheese collection, regularly. I have a little cheese board going. But I was exercising self-control and not buying any cheese. But I thought to myself, I'll go and have a look at the cheese aisle anyway, even though I don't need any cheese. And what happened was I was singing this out loud. I'm just going to look at some cheese, but I don't need any cheese. I have no idea what it was, because it was a spontaneous song. And then I made eye contact with someone and realised I wasn't on mute.
Yeah, I bet you there's stories that people that work in supermarkets could tell after lockdown.
Never mind.
So if you guys have any stories of a similar ilk to Elizabeth,
please just reassure us that it's not just us
that's going crazy.
Please let us know. Yeah.
If you put the shampoo in the fridge or just you're making up little songs, send them in.
Yeah.
Although if we don't get anything, we will know.
We
it
might
is
be
us.
A bit concerned, actually. So how about even if there isn't anything, you just make up a really funny story to reassure us.
Well, it's been lovely having you both with us.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, it's been great to chat to you.
We've loved having you on and hearing from you both.
Bye.
Bye, take care.